Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is James Kirchick, who is a journalist and foreign correspondent based in Berlin, who has reported from southern and northern Africa, the Middle East, Central Asia, Eastern Europe, and the Caucasus. He's a columnist for Haaretz and the New York Daily News and writes the Continental Drift column on Europe for Tablet, a leading voice on American gay politics and international gay rights. He is the recipient of the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association Journalist of the Year Award. Welcome to Background Briefing, James Kirchick.
Thank you for having me.
And I just watched your appearance on Russia's RT cable network. Ostensibly, the discussion was supposed to be about Bradley Manning prior to his sentencing. But you were able to make these very important points about what is happening in Russia and what Putin is up to on Putin's own foreign propaganda outlet, RT. I noticed a great deal of embarrassment on the part of the other hosts and guests.
Yes, well, they should be embarrassed because they are not journalists. They are propagandists for a dictatorial regime that has a pernicious influence all over the world. So I hope they feel ashamed of themselves.
Well, but RT is fairly popular with a lot of Americans, particularly on the political left.
It's very disturbing. Yeah, it's very disturbing. It is very popular among people my age. I'm 29. Naturally, young people have a kind of skeptical attitude towards authority, and RT cynically plays on that by putting out virulent anti-Western propaganda 24/7. And you're right, it is very popular, unfortunately, among people on the left, and I think that's something that people on the left need to question.
But there is a sort of, not to say that there's a comparison, but there's at least a consistency here with a lot of foreign cable news. Al Jazeera, for example, has a double standard. Its Arabic broadcasts are highly partisan,
exactly.
And yet its international broadcast is quite vanilla by comparison. Mm-hmm. And the same is true of CNN, where you have, you know, very good reporting on CNN International and then this ridiculous domestic tabloid stuff that they seem to focus on.
Sure, but yes, I agree with you on that critique of CNN in terms of their tabloid coverage, but I don't think CNN can be compared to RT or Al Jazeera and its coverage of American politics. I mean, you get very critical voices on CNN.
Sure. I actually didn't make that comparison. I'm saying that there's a similarity in the sense that there's a domestic and a local. I mean,
sure.
If RT viewers in the world were able to watch Putin's television, state-run TV in Moscow for 10 minutes, they'd be appalled, you know.
Right, but I don't think the coverage of the RT stuff isn't that different from what Russians are getting because there's no free media in Russia. So, you know, Russians, when they turn on the TV, all they can find is state television. There's no independent television stations in Russia.
So, James Kirchick, in terms of what's happening in Russia and what can be done about it, a lot of attention, of course, is being paid on the upcoming Winter Olympics in Sochi. There's also talk of boycotting Stolichnaya and other Russian products. Where do you come down? Let's start with the boycott on consumer goods. A lot of people are arguing
I'm quite skeptical on boycotting consumer goods unless they're state-owned. I mean, Stolichnaya, to my knowledge, is not a state-owned company, and so I don't really see what the point is in going after a private concern. In terms of Gazprom, which is a Russian state oil company, then yes, we should be much tougher on them and have a different approach to that. Regarding the Olympics, I'm undecided. I'm sympathetic to both arguments. I don't know what makes sense. If it's better to boycott the Olympics or to send, you know, gay athletes to win medals and to, you know, stuff it in Putin's face and to wave gay pride flags. I mean, that's obviously they're gonna put themselves in danger, perhaps. So I'm sympathetic to both arguments. I just think either way that this issue needs to be, you know, forefront in terms of American foreign policy and should not be put on the back burner. I think human rights have been too often ignored in American foreign policy, and it should be more front and center.
And James Kirchick, again, journalist and foreign correspondent based in Berlin, who has reported from southern and north Africa, the Middle East, Central Asia, Eastern Europe, and the Caucasus. He's a columnist for Haaretz and the New York Daily News and writes the Continental Drift column on Europe for Tablet. And he's a leading voice on American gay politics and international gay rights, and he's a recipient of the National Lesbian and Gay Journalist Association's Journalist of the Year Award. You're actually in Estonia at the moment, which is not too far from Russia. And what are you learning from what's happening in terms of a pushback within Russia itself? I mean, there was, of course, a lot of publicity of the two Russian athletes in the recent games in Moscow, the two women kissing as a sign of rebuke for Putin. What do you hear in terms of pushback?
Well, I think it's very difficult because what this law does is it makes it illegal to even say anything remotely positive about homosexuality. So, you know, whatever tools that Russian liberals and gay activists had at their disposal to, you know, write about these issues, to talk about them on television, have now been removed. In fact, there was a gay Russian television host who came out live on Russian television and was fired that evening. So this law is really draconian, and it makes it very difficult for people to even be activists.
Well, one of the comparisons, I think, Harvey Firestein, who you started out your statement on RT, quoting him, and he, of course, focused his article in the New York Times on the upcoming Sochi Olympics and made analogies to the 1936 Berlin Olympics. And there's no question that there is, I think, at least to my mind, there is a connection here in terms of the pogroms against the Jews that the Nazis unleashed, and what's happening in Russia against the gays, because there's a vigilante component to that law, is there not?
Yes. I mean, what this law has done, it has created an atmosphere of impunity where, as you said, vigilantes, you know, skinhead groups are now, you know, luring young gay boys and torturing them on camera, and they're getting away with it because they feel empowered, and it's horrible. And I'm always hesitant to make Nazi comparisons because I think what happened in Nazi Germany was a singular historical event that had never been perpetrated to that extent in history and has never been perpetrated to that extent. And certainly the anti-Jewish campaign in Germany by 1936 was much more severe at that point in time in 1936 than what's happened in Russia now with regard to gays. That said, there are obviously disturbing parallels. And the first thing that you do if you want to eliminate a population, whether it was in Nazi Germany or in Rwanda against the Tutsis, the first thing you do is you start stigmatizing and discriminating against people and treating them as less than humans, and that's what this law does in Russia. And it's just going to get worse unless it stops now.
And of course, in the terms of the Rwanda analogy, the media, of course, plays a huge part in stirring up this. So I imagine if a prominent anchor on Putin's state-owned television makes that statement and gets disappeared the next day, I don't know, is there any evidence that they're broadcasting anti-gay propaganda?
Oh, certainly. On Russian state television, this is a constant theme. And in all Russian media, whether it's radio or newspapers, it's a constant beating of the drum that gay people are pedophiles, that they're animals, and this is where it leads. It leads to violence, and it leads to murder, and that's what we're seeing now in Russia.
Well, James Kirchick, you had a piece recently in the Daily Beast where you made the connection and the analogy, and I think it's a perfectly appropriate one, between Putin's anti-gay crackdown and, you know, much of what's been going on here with the Christian right in this country. I mean, what is the difference between what Rick Santorum believes and states and argues for against homosexuals in the United States and what Putin is doing?
Yes, there have been some social conservatives in the United States who come out in favor of this law, but I'm hesitant to draw a direct comparison between the tactics employed by, you know, the anti-gay right in America and what Putin is doing. You know, most of the anti-gay activists I'm aware of in the United States are not, you know, calling for abridging freedom of speech or freedom of assembly. These are basic constitutional rights that we have in the United States. They're more, you know, their agenda is limited to, you know, banning gay marriage or banning gay adoption, which are things that I obviously oppose, but I don't think that they can be put on the same level in terms of how draconian they are as what's happening in Russia. I mean, I think we need some perspective in terms of you know, how we talk about these issues. And I don't think it's right to compare someone like Rick Santorum, as much as I may disagree with him on these issues. I don't think he's at the same level as someone like Vladimir Putin.
No, but he did, I think at one point, make some statement about, you know, conflating gays to bestiality and animal sex.
Oh, he absolutely has. No, yeah, he's absolutely used the disgusting language that dehumanizes gay people, certainly. But in terms of, you know, legal restrictions on whether or not gay people should have the right to free speech or assembly, I haven't heard that from Rick Santorum or most of the anti-gay activists in the United States. Certainly there are some, but they're on the very far right, and I think they're pretty marginal.
That's true, but I would like to see, and obviously we're not going to get this in our media because it's so polarized.
Yeah.
We're not going to have Santorum being interviewed by Rachel Maddow,
yeah,
on MSNBC, and they will go to their comfort zone on Fox News, and so will Huckabee and others, where,
yeah,
they're free to make these homophobic remarks without restraint.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's one of the problems with our media, is it, and our politicians, is you can't have the kind of discussion we need to have, where people really get pulled over for making these dreadful statements and they have to defend them publicly.
Well, I don't think – I believe in free speech, and I believe that Rick Santorum and Michael Huckabee and people on Fox, they can say whatever they like. And we have free speech in America, and we can combat that, and we can call them names, and we can tell them we can state the truth.
Right.
And unfortunately in Russia, people don't have that power. There is no balance. There's no freedom of speech.
I understand that, but I'm just saying that one of the problems with our polarized media is that we can't have the kind of debates that would educate people like Rick Santorum, or at the very least force them to defend their statements.
Perhaps. I mean, I do,
yeah,
think, you know, you do have people who disagree on Fox News. I mean, they do have pro-gay arguments made on that channel.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's, you know, it could be better, obviously. I'm not a huge fan of partisan media, but, you know, it serves a purpose. And I believe in a plentiful variety of voices. And I think your station is a pretty left-wing station, and I think that's great. And I think it's good to have a Fox out there saying what they think. That's democracy. That's freedom.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And I don't want in any way to imply that I'm making comparisons between the U.S. media,
right,
and the Russian media, which,
right,
is just atrocious, except for Novaya Gazeta and Echo,
right,
Radio. There's just nothing.
Yep.
He has successfully, yep, completely closed,
yep,
off all alternative media space. And,
yep,
the only thing,
yep,
left is now the Internet. And what's your sense of how Putin is moving against the Internet?
Well, you know, I used to work for Radio Free Europe, which was founded many decades ago during the Cold War to broadcast news and information behind the Iron Curtain. And sadly, you know, Radio Free Europe still has a function. They still need to exist because, and much of the former Soviet Union, Russia included, but also in Belarus and Ukraine and Central Asia, this media situation is not much better than it was during the Cold War. And I can tell you that, having worked for Radio Free Europe, the employees of that, my former colleagues there have to put up with, constant harassment and vilification, by these regimes. And they're very brave individuals, and I salute anyone in those countries who goes to work every day trying to be a fair and an independent voice.
Well, James Kirchick, I also host the UCLA Hammer Forum here in Los Angeles, where we get prominent speakers to talk on important political and social issues. And recently I hosted Marcia Gessen, who has written,
yeah,
a book very critical of Putin, and had a very surreal meeting in the Kremlin where she was summoned by,
yeah,
Putin. And one of the things that I'm speculating about here is, because I don't understand what Putin's motives are to go on this anti-gay jihad. I understand it plays well with the Orthodox Church and with the Narod,
yeah,
with the, you know, the kind of rednecks Narod indicates, you know, out there where he has most of his support in the country. I mean, he's literally in,
right,
hostile territory there in Moscow. He's kind of reviled amongst the intelligentsia.
Sure, but I mean, the vast majority of Russia is homophobic, and this Russian,
right,
society is homophobic. It's not like this is some minority viewpoint that's being shoved down their throats. I mean, they this plays very well in Russia, which is why he's doing it.
Right.
And it's very, you know, if you're a dictator and you're trying to stay in power, then it's... It makes sense for him to do this, right, to find a scapegoat and to continue this, you know, anti-American, anti-Western propaganda, to say that this is the EU and the sort of degraded, valueless, immoral Western society that believes in, you know, un-Christian things like homosexuality, and that plays very well in Russia, unfortunately.
Well, but it just feels like he was personally going after Masha, you know, I mean, going after gay adoption, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just curious about how I understand he's a very petty and vindictive man.
Yes, I think that's clear. I would agree with you.
Right. Well, I thank you for joining us, James Kirchick, and for your pulling over those RT people. I think you did us all a great service.
Thank you very much.
Again, I've been speaking with James Kirchick, who's a journalist and foreign correspondent based in Berlin, who has reported from Southern and North Africa, the Middle East, Central Asia, Eastern European, and the Caucasus. He's a columnist for Haaretz and the New York Daily News and writes the Continental Drift column on Europe for Tablet. A leading voice on American gay politics and international gay rights, he is a recipient of the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association Journalist of the Year Award. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. The hit.